Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is a disgrace even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, "Awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of our time, because the days are evil." Last week I started out with a question. I asked if you're a saint. Are you a saint? And hopefully those of you who were here came to the conclusion that if you have been washed in the blood, I'm not asking if you're perfect, I'm asking if you're forgiven, because saints are but forgiven sinners. In the context, though, of what Paul is saying here to the Ephesians, he now describes what it means to be cleaned up. He is describing those things that are of the world that we have to leave behind. And what I want to focus upon in specifically is verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. I have written out on the marquee, empty words are Satan's specialty. Only God delivers on his promises. Ephesians 5, 6. Have you ever been disappointed because someone promised you and then didn't follow through? I hope that hasn't involved a serious relationship such as marriage, but we know that that happens, unfortunately. Vows are made and then not kept. Have you ever bought something that looked really good? You had never tried it before, and you got home and you thought, this is the worst stuff I've ever tasted or ever used. I heard this past week that a guy filled up at King Super. He had a diesel truck. He went to a diesel pump, and he filled up with gasoline from the diesel pump because the fellow that had filled the tanks put him in the wrong tanks. He got 10 miles down the road. I'm surprised he made 10 miles. If you don't know that you're not supposed to do that, then you haven't ever driven a diesel. But that's a no-no. That's a big one. He didn't get what he paid for. You ever feel that way? This is not what I agreed to. Empty words. That Greek word there for empty is kinos, and it means things that are futile, devoid of truth, fruitless, even foolish. I'll say it again. Empty words are Satan's specialty. Think about the temptations of Eve, or the temptation of Eve, and the temptations of Christ, and how Satan worked. What were the kinds of things he used to try to persuade? We know that Satan makes lots of promises. The problem is, Satan has no intention of following through with the good that he promises. And that's what we want to kind of focus upon today and even for this afternoon. But just to call it like it is, let's turn to what Jesus had to say about Satan in John chapter 8. As he was discussing things with the Pharisees of his day who were not listening to him, this is verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. Think of the nature of Satan. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks it from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. Talk about polarizing points on the compass. Jesus basically says there is that which is a lie, and that's of the devil. There is that which is truth, and that is of God. If you won't listen to the words of God, it's because you're not of God, which means your father is the devil. And how did he describe the devil? He is a murderer, has been from the beginning. He is a liar and the father of lies. Empty words. And yet, how often do we fall for what Satan has to offer? Now think of David and the temptations that he succumbed to. What in the world possessed David to go against his Savior, to go against his Lord? How did the shepherd boy who sang such beautiful psalms become the king on the balcony who looked in lust at another man's wife? What kinds of reasons did David give to himself to commit such an immoral sin? Why would anyone fall for that? Oh, we know, don't we? We know because we all struggle. He who says he is without sin is a liar, and the truth is not in him. For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. John said the first one, Paul said the second one. What does that tell us about ourselves? As long as we live, we are susceptible. We could fall. And as long as we live, we probably will continue to make mistakes. The beauty of what God has offered us through His Son is mercy. Not giving us what we deserve, but His mercy and grace. But we must try to walk in the light, as we said last week, as He is in the light. So as we look at the contrast then, and we're going to read a couple of verses prior to verse 6 here in Ephesians chapter 5. But as we look at the contrast then between the life that we have left behind, later on Paul says this was the life of darkness. Prior to becoming forgiven, this was the way in which you once walked. Look at verse 3 now and following Ephesians 5. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What would it take to induce you to do that which is contrary to the will of God? We like to think it would take a lot. In fact, I'm not going to yield. If we had it just right out there on the table, if it was in plain sight, we'd say, no, can't do that. That's not what God would have me to do. But then we look at ourselves and we look at how we behave today, and maybe we lost our temper, or maybe we said some things that we shouldn't have. Maybe we spoke in a way that hurt someone that unnecessarily. Perhaps we even took advantage in a situation or two. And we look at ourselves at the end of the day and we think, oh man, I did it again. How do you know what you did was wrong? Well, that's a pretty good list of them right there, isn't it? Because God reveals what His will is for us. It's not that we walk perfectly, but that when we assess how we walk, we are grieved. And we beg God to forgive and to have mercy upon us. Isn't it nice to have a father that cares? Satan does not care. Can we get that through our heads? Whatever temptation Satan throws our way, aren't you hungry? Turn that stone into bread. Don't you think God loves you? Then just jump off the temple. He'll catch you. See all these kingdoms that belong to me? Just fall down and worship me and they will be yours. What a bunch of hooey, right? Jesus responded to every one of those with a passage of Scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The Lord is God, and Him only shalt thou serve. You know how Jesus was able to do that? Because He had the Word of God within. When Satan comes our way, if we can detail that which he's asking us to do that is contrary to the will of God by remembering Scriptures, by looking it up, then we have within our power the light to shine on the darkness. We've got to get it through our heads that to yield to Satan's deception will never be good. It's to cease to be a child of the light and become a member of darkness once again. Do churches struggle with this? Oh, every generation, as long as we live. Paul's admonition, don't be taken in by the futile, fruitless, empty promises. I'm afraid that song that was popular years and years ago, Running on Empty, basically describes the world today. Do you ever have a gas gauge that lied to you? You say, you sure do use a lot of automobile illustrations. Well, I've got a diesel truck. It gives me lots of reasons to compare it to life in general. Do you think Satan has any helpers? We're going to turn to a passage in 2 Peter chapter 2. And what 2 Peter chapter 2 is, it describes for us what a false prophet is. But in the process of describing this false prophet and what he does, you can see right behind his mask. He may appear like an angel of light. In other words, he calls himself a prophet. But behind him, we know the source. We know what's going on there. Beginning with verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 2. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. There were two primary motivations for the false prophet: sensuality and greed. I want you to think back over every advertisement you saw this week on TV. You say, oh man, that ends the sermon. Think of every advertisement you saw. Just think of a couple of advertisements. What are they promising you in those advertisements? You buy our product, oh man, you're going to live forever. You're going to be as strong as Hercules. You're going to be attractive to everyone you meet. You're going to be in such a fine automobile that people will bow down. Well, they don't quite go that far, do they? What are all those promises about? Self-indulgence. Why does a false prophet teach what he does? Because he, by nature, is human as well. Sensuality and greed. It's the same thing that Satan has used throughout the ages to attract. That's why Paul, when he says the works of darkness, so many of those works of darkness have to do with sensuality. Do you know what it boils down to? One word? Selfish. Satan would have you live for self. And he promises, you just do what you think, what will make you happy, what keeps you in comfort and security. You just do what you want to do, and happiness is yours. It's the same thing. See it? Doesn't that look good? Oh, taste it. Didn't that taste good? And by the way, if you'll just pluck it off that tree and eat it, you'll be as smart as God. You say, how silly. She fell for that. How often do we? How often do we? Why do false prophets teach what they do? Because it is their own nature to be that way. And misery loves company. Tell me. Looking at it from a polarized point of view, what God offers through Christ and the Holy Spirit and what Satan offers through self-indulgence. Just stepping back a long ways. Would you really say, I want to die? Would you really say, I desire to go to hell? Would you really say, this is my longing in life to be forever separated from my Heavenly Father and to suffer the fires of eternal damnation? You say, wait a minute, what are you saying? I'm saying that's the picture Christ paints when he says, you either listen to me or you're of your father the devil, who is a murderer and a liar and has been from the beginning. He who is of God listens to God. Paul's not being facetious or diplomatic or political when he says, do not listen to empty words. Satan will paint it in such a way that it is appealing. How do you know the difference? How do you know that luscious red apple is not full of deadly poison? Because you've seen the movie before, right? And you don't take it from the hag, right? You have to look at from whence the tempter comes. And if it's not what God would have you to do, then it is not good. Satan capitalizes on things that promise the world and gives you nothing. What if I told you, come forward today, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins in the name of Jesus Christ, and we're then going to flip a coin, we're going to roll the dice, and we're going to see if you're saved. What? No. It all depends on whether it's heads or tails and what number comes up when we roll the dice. We're going to gamble on your soul's security. You just come and do this, and then you say, that's not how God works. It's not, is it? God delivers on his promises, doesn't he? Do you have confidence that by going down into the water in the name of Jesus by faith, that your sins are forgiven? Of course you do, because that's how God works. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Do you see the difference? When Jesus says, you're of your father the devil, who is a liar and a murderer. I am of God and you must listen to me in order to do the things that God would have you to do. He's not making a light argument. Paul here is saying, as saints come out and stay out of darkness, do your best to walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, as we said last week, does that mean we earn or deserve? No. It's God's mercy and grace that grants us a pathway to heaven through forgiveness, through Christ's blood. We are sanctified by the blood of Christ. We are set apart. But we are set apart. We are to walk as he would have us to. There's a passage in Hosea that I think is pretty revealing. This is Hosea chapter 4, and we are going to get to verse 6. But right now, let's look at verse 8 in light of these empty words that are spoken by those who are not of God. They feed on the sin of my people and direct their desire toward their iniquity. Have you ever had somebody tell you just what you wanted to hear? And they always told you what you wanted to hear. And before you know it, you realize that you were in a used car lot. That's the way salesmen work, isn't it? This is the best car that's ever come in. In fact, I want to buy this car myself. I'm thinking right now that I'm going to drive this home when I get off work today. Liar, liar, pants on fire. They'll say anything. Here Hosea says that the false priests, if you read it in context, the false priests feed on the sins of the people. They tell you what you want to hear because they feel like that will convince you to do what they want you to do. Now look at verse 6. This is still in Hosea. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. The more they multiplied, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people and direct their desire toward their iniquity. The book of Proverbs is replete with two women. Remember this, the lesson from Proverbs? Sophia and Cynthia. Two women, one calling for the young men to come and do the wise thing to honor the Lord. The other, self-indulgence. Come into my chamber. They feed on the sins of my people. How long will it take for us to realize that outside of God's word is death? I don't care how you couch it, how you paint it up, the degrees with which the man has behind his name, the number of books that he has written, the schools that he's gone to, it doesn't matter if what he or she teaches is contrary to what the Bible reveals. Jesus said simply, you either listen to what God says or you are of the devil. And you're headed not simply to darkness, but death. Fruitless. Futile. Empty. Devoid of truth. It's not because we're so smart. It's because God has revealed Himself. It's because we, at some point in our life, decided we wanted to be God's children. That's how we come to learn what it is that God would have us to learn. That's how we come to decipher between what the world offers and what God says is actually best. It's not that we have made it up as we went along. It's not that we, by our wisdom, have penned them. I'll bring out this afternoon in our lesson a description of idolatry that is disturbing. Idolatry in the Old Testament took the form, and I'll say a name or two, and you'll probably recognize a few of them. Baal. Ashtaroth. Molech, Moloch, Chemosh. Any of those names mean anything to you? They're all one and the same, except might be male or female in characterization. Did the Old Testament, did they have a problem? Their idolatry took the form of child sacrifice, which is what I'm going to talk about this afternoon. How could anyone go to the point of sacrificing an infant to Moloch? That's idolatry that we can identify. Is that the idolatry that's mentioned here? Yes and no. Go back with me now to Ephesians chapter 4. Did you even notice that idolatry was mentioned as he spoke about the things that were of the darkness? Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 5, for this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now, we can step back and we could say, well, we aren't doing that stuff that they did in the Old Testament. We don't have any problem with idolatry like they did. Do you know what a definition of idolatry is? Anything that stands between me and doing what God would have me to do is an idol. Anything. What does that entail? That could be a relationship, a job, a vocation, an attitude. Anything that stands between my doing what God would have me to do becomes idolatry. I have placed that before my eyes which is more important to me than God. I don't have to be exorbitantly bad like they were in the Old Testament. So obviously, of course, it's if I decide that this is more important to me than doing God's will, not doing what I know to be right in order to selfishly do what I want. Oh, you say, preacher, quit that. You're hurting my toes. Paul says that's not who we are as saints. We have been set apart from that which is of darkness to do the things that are children of light. How does Satan convince us to do otherwise? Empty promises. Running on empty. All hat and no cattle. He'll never deliver. After everything is said and done, finish it. More is said than done. Put it off till tomorrow. When I was a youngster, my parents told me I was a sleepwalker. That I would walk through the house somewhere between ages 3 to, I assume, almost age 6. I don't know if I sleepwalked after age 6. The incidents that they talk about, or the times that I was younger than that. They said one particular incident that they really enjoyed, and I don't know how you could enjoy your child sleepwalking, but they said you had a friend sleep over for the night. And they said you walked into our room after you guys had been in bed asleep for a while. You walked into our room, and you had this friend of yours by the hand, and you led him straight into our bedroom. I don't remember any of this. And they said, Stanton, what are you doing? And I responded, it's okay, Mom. I'm just showing him around. And she said, then you walked out the front door with him. Now, that's a real friend. Not me. But that friend that would allow me to lead him around in the house and then out the front door. Of course, they kept an eye on me, and I was out there for a little while. I showed him the tree, showed him where the car was parked, and then we came back into the house and went back to sleep. Was I in my right mind when I was sleepwalking? All right, honesty here. Anybody sleepwalk besides me? Okay, good. I'm glad to see it. It just happens, doesn't it? It's not being in or out of your right mind. But we know when we sleepwalk that we don't have all of our facility. We're not really fully conscious. Have you ever driven like that? Woo! That's when it gets really bad, isn't it? Start falling asleep behind the wheel. Sleepwalking is the same as walking in darkness. We're not really in our right minds whenever we believe what Satan has to offer. In fact, look at this verse now. We're back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. You know, I've been told that psychologically you shouldn't wake people up like that. You should get them back to bed, you know, and then in the morning tell them about it. And so maybe my folks handled it right by just watching me walk away. I don't know. That the shock is just too great. You wake somebody up as they're in the midst of their sleepwalk. We can go through life sleepwalking. That's what this passage says. When we listen to empty words, when we believe what Satan has to offer, when we blind ourselves literally to what God says, We walk to our own destruction. Now, we may be perfectly happy and content, but that's not good for us. Awake, O sleeper, and let Christ shine upon you. Where do you find words of truth, of fruitfulness, of that which is a blessing? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus didn't hold back. That's John 14 and verse 6. Paul says, do you desire to continue in your sainthood? Then forsake those things that are of the world. Don't fall for the empty promises that Satan offers. They only lead to your destruction. Walk as children of light, as we stand and as we sing.